Live and local with Monica J. 99.1 is FM Talk.
Show indeed, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Monica at 991fmtalk.com is my email directly to me. 884-9910. It's the line that you can call with whatever you need to get off your chest. We've been talking a little bit about taxes today, our freedoms. What are taxes supposed to be paying for? You know, put a little bit into Social Security for yourself. A lot of people disagree with that. They say, I give it back to me. I can put it in an IRA or something that I can take care of myself later on. But we can't trust people to do that. So what are your taxes supposed to be paying for? We're supposed to be investing in our future. So kids get a great education K through 12. Well, that's not happening. We're supposed to be securing our borders. And we're supposed to be protecting citizens. So fire, law enforcement, all that good stuff. But when you have a society like we do now that says, no, we need to take care of it. Some people call them the bleeding hearts, the do-gooders, the, you know, you can put all kinds of labels on people. And that's kind of dumb. Because everybody is different. I think the Almighty created us that way to, well, see how we would figure this out. See how we could work this out. Compassion goes a long way. But when people stop taking care of themselves, taking responsibility, and just letting go, letting other people handle what's going on, their drug addiction, their mental illness, where they sleep at night, everything seems to go into chaos. And for good reason. Because it's all about the money. When you boil things down, it's always about the money. Now you have an administrator that is making, you know, 5-6-figure salary. And then you have the employees, and we have to get this program together and that program together, and you have to hire more people. Well, how does that really go to help the person? Enforcing laws. Holding people accountable. Punishment so they don't want to do it again. That's how you fix things. Joining us right now, who's been working on a very important project, is Paul White. And I am just enthralled with this man because of the fact that he doesn't back down. He receives threats against his home, threats against his property, threats against his life, his family. But he doesn't back down because what he is doing is truly making a difference in people's lives for the better. Joining us right now is Paul White, Quality of Life Reno. You can find out more at qol-reno.org. Paul, thanks for joining us. You've been working, actually, with Olympia Washington on a homeless documentary.
Good morning, Monica. We just got back from Olympia. We took our whole team over there, six of us, for 3 days. And their group that is trying to hold the line against all the vagrants and the crime in their town had heard about us and invited us to come over and give them a workshop and speak to the community. So we did both. You have to see it to believe it. If you know Olympia, you know, right off the south end of Puget Sound there, beautiful location, you know, everything's green, et cetera. Town about one-fifth the size of Reno with the same number of homeless. And It's just what happens when nobody's enforcing the law. The same thing we talk about here. Going down one of the main streets downtown, Monica, one group of kids was sitting on the sidewalk injecting meth. Nobody's saying a thing. Went to what they call their mitigation site for homeless, outdoor area to sleep, what they're trying to do here in Reno, and talked to the manager there, and he said it's an absolute mess, drugs everywhere, it's violent, it's dangerous, needs to be totally shut down and started over. This was the manager. Went down to another corner, some men cooking heroin. Woman was screaming there, went into one of the portable toilets. They're always saying they need to put more up in Reno. And, yep, she used the portable toilet to go in there and shoot up some drugs. You just can't believe it. Next to the freeway, the Department of Transportation and their highway patrol is just allowing so many brazen homeless camps. They, like, have built two-story structures out of trash, if you can believe it. And, you know, there's water everywhere there, and their trash and toxic sewage and stuff is just running into their water supply.
You know what the sad part about all of this that you're saying, Paul, is you say if you can believe it. And because of what I've seen working with you and just the people who are sending in pictures of our area and listening to the national news and what's going on in San Francisco and the like. Yeah, unfortunately, I can believe it. And
yeah.
It's being angry about that we all see it, we all believe it, and yet the problem continues to get worse, and the solutions are just give them a place that they can stay.
Yeah, you'll like this. They're ridiculous. The whole tiny home thing that they're making a big deal out of here. Well, they have an established tiny home village there, and we went to it. And their manager said, I interviewed him a little bit, so they take them in as young as 18, and they require no drug testing. But he assured me that you can only use drugs and alcohol, have to be at least a mile away from the facility. So I thought, I bet they carefully measure that. So you can guarantee there's drugs and alcohol everywhere. They don't test for it. They don't have to work.
And what's the point of that? Because you just come back high or drunk to your home and your community.
Oh, and then the work, nobody has to work. The work is, he explained, the city is who's paying these people, is paying the managers. They help the people work at getting every last entitlement they can so that they can live the rest of their lives 100% subsidized, and they're just wanting to build more villages all the time to just create a permanent class of people who will never work or contribute or obey the law. This is their tiny village. But here's the thing, Monica. There's good news for Reno. Boy, nothing like this made us want to just redouble our own efforts on this. And Reno's situation, just in a nutshell, and if you followed Las Vegas, you know that big-hearted mayor down there, Miss Goodman, passed that regulation. You're going to have beds to sleep in, but you're not sleeping anywhere on the sidewalk, right in line with Martin Boise, or you're going to jail. Well, the first few days of this, they've got about 200 available beds. And the sidewalks are still covered. The people who say, I want off the street, refuse to go into them. They want to stay on the street illegally. And today's news is the police in Vegas are refusing to enforce the law, just taking it upon themselves to say, in spite of the fact that the council is their boss, they're refusing to do it. How is this different from like a Venezuela or a third world country where the general directs his army to go against the president of the country?
Again, so, Paul, it goes back to people are smarter than we give them credit for. And the people who are homeless and on the streets who want to, the people who are vagrants, I'm sorry, I've got to stop using the term homeless. The people who are vagrants and just bums who want out of society, know what they to say. You know, when are the reporters actually going to start doing background and history checks before they put stories out? Oh, well, this sad soul, they, you know, were doing this and just because of circumstances and they're trying to, you know what, really? Why don't you check out that story? Because they know what to say to gain the sympathy, to gain the system.
Totally right.
The help is there.
Oh, it's everywhere. See what they've stopped parenting kids for responsible, contributing, and living independent behavior. The schools don't address this at all, and so places like these tiny villages are taking them in as early as 18, or some places, some programs we're going to be directing attention to in town are doing the same thing. And they're just creating a permanent feed me, support me class. So the good news in Reno is we're redoubling our efforts. We've been recently to the municipal court and the homeless courts both. They're a joke. They're a joke what they're doing or not doing for these people who are brought in having broken the law. The police are not being allowed.
Explain this homeless court to me.
We've been asking for a week to get an interview with Judge Riggs before we really go public with sharing about it. She's refusing to get back with us. And we went in there, and the first thing you do, you've broken the law. You've ruined somebody's business. You've driven tourists away. You've done something of a misdemeanor, stolen something, drugs of a misdemeanor category. And the first thing you get when you walk into homeless court is coffee and donuts and how glad they are to see you. Well, if that's not the most mixed message in the world, you ruined somebody's business, broke into something, drugs, theft, etc. Here, how would you like a free breakfast? Then they come up there, Monica, and they're sitting there like in a little auditorium. They want to make it so friendly. They do everything but rub your feet and massage your back. And they've got two microphones there for the judge and the defendant. But I'm not quite sure why, because they're not turned on. They say they're recording, but you can hear absolutely nothing. I was within 15 feet of the stage, literally. And so you have no idea what the charge is or what's going down. And then when they get done, they get 30 days to an 8-hour sentence, in quotes, to go pick up trash that day, which is suspended. As long as they go, they're going to get into a program, and they'll check with them next month. But, oh, if your back was sore, your dog died or something, well, I couldn't do it. Well, next month, until they finally drift away. We're going to start leading tours of community court and municipal court so people can see firsthand what a travesty this is. And it's just, so what we saw, Olympia is overrun, and then here's the really evil element that they got to watch for, Monica. We've got seeds of this in our community, but not like Olympia's got. And that is this young anarchist group that is this totally disenfranchised group that's grown up, unparented, no values from the schools, no desire to work. So they're smart, they're educated enough, but they're evilly so. And their sole goal is just to totally disrupt and shut down the operation of a city being able to function, whether it's, you know, things running and operating and stoplights moving and water being clean and whatnot. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even want to tell you on air all the things they're trying to do there in Olympia. But I'll tell you what, people need to wake up and they need to call us and they need to get involved with us. And so what's coming? That group there on the railroad tracks, that's hundreds of tents, and anywhere between 600 and upwards, close to 1,000 people, right on the railroad tracks. We're targeting them. We're going to go try to sit down with every city official, make sure they know it, show them tape, see what they'll do. But when all is said and done, if everybody refuses to do anything, that's going to be the largest-scale homeless citizens arrest that the city's ever seen, because it's just nuts. It's filthy, it's violating health laws, it's criminal, it's harming those people, it's harming the community. There are 3 feet off the railroad tracks, close enough to get crushed by a train, and the city's just sitting there acting like they don't know what's going on.
All right, Paul, can you hang on for just a second? Because I want to dispute something with you about Sparks. So stick around. We're going to be right back, and we'll have more. If you'd like to comment on it, 884-9910. Your comments always welcome. But this is what we have to do. Because your elected representatives won't do it. They're tying the hands of law enforcement just like everybody else. It's up to us. We'll be back on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Let's go back to the line quickly to check in with Paul. Paul White of Quality of Life Reno, that's QOL-Reno.org. And this is where you need to see this stuff, the videos, the documentaries, and find out what's really happening. These people are the boots on the ground. They're the ones that are going to the meetings. They're the ones that, well, the mayor and other council people get up and walk out on because they're tired of the pushback. And they're doing it for you. So you know they're making a difference. Paul, thank you for staying through that break. I was online with somebody and trying to explain to them how Sparks doesn't have the problems that Reno does because Sparks actually, the city of Sparks, enforces their laws. No camping along the river and stuff like that. Is that true or not?
Yeah, most definitely. We heard a story, I believe, Thursday before we left for Olympia, last Thursday. One of our supporters, she and her husband ride their bikes a lot, and they came upon a large, permanent-looking camp just over the border, kind of, but more Sparks. And they live in Sparks. And she came home, called the Sparks PD, left a message. An officer called her right back fairly soon, and gave her a date that they were going to go this week and go right there and clean that out. And she said, well, what about this other place that's kind of like right on the edge? And he laughed. He said, oh, we'll just push them over to Reno. And so Sparks, you know, again, is taking care of their own over there. But this is just, they definitely seem to have a stronger approach to this than we do, Monica. And, you know, they can complain and say that, Reno can complain and say, well, we have all the services and et cetera. But
if Reno has all the services and everything, then shouldn't it be the opposite? Shouldn't we have all of this cleaned up?
I would think so, too. And somewhere along the line, Monica, they've just got to get this absolute lunacy out of their head that we need more services. This thing in Vegas is perfect. Like I say, they had over 200 available government-paid, et cetera, beds. They've played the whole game. They have these beds so they could enforce the law and keep the homeless off and away from ruining their income areas in business.
Yeah. All right, Paul, hang on the line. That people don't want to talk to me. They actually want to talk to you. So Chad is calling in, and he wants to talk to you about the homeless situation. So we'll do that. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. You're on with Paul White.
Yeah, how you doing, Paul?
I'm good. Good morning, Chad.
Yeah, I understand. There's the same problem in Sparks. You know, actually, I am kind of down and out and, you know, living in a park in my truck, but these people don't want help. But I want help, and I need a job.
Well, Chad, all you got to do is, when you get off the phone, give me a call, 685-8200, 685-8200, and we can set an appointment for you and start to work with you right away.
Okay, that sounds great. You know, I mean, these people don't want to work.
We'd love
I'll tell you that now. You know, I'm not a drug addict.
I look forward to hearing from you.
I know you're not into drugs and you've fallen on hard times, but what is your experience with the people who are out onto the streets? Do they know how to manipulate the system? Is that what they're doing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's help out there that wants to help.
Chad, correct me if I'm wrong. The folks that I run into on the street and have for four decades, they're not bad. They're just weak. And if the choice was getting resources or getting cited, ticketed, fined, and ultimately going to jail, they'd go for the resources. But they give them that third option of not changing their ways, not going, getting cited for jail, and just allowing them to stay there, and they simply lose the motivation to do anything. That's what I find, like, 99% of the time.
I agree with that, and the point, I think, is they don't want to do it. Most of them have a income monthly off of a government check, which is ridiculous. Sure. But they don't want to work, and we still hustle and boost and steal and do that. And then, you know,
I don't fault the people on the street, Chad. They are who they're saying they are. You talk to them, they'll laugh, they'll be honest, tell you, I don't want to change. I like the scam I got going. But I fault the ones who are so foolish to come down there and want to make themselves feel good by bringing socks or a toothbrush and thinking, oh, yeah, that's I'm really being a compassionate human being. We've just lost our minds on this.
Well, there are people come down and give out handouts all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't really help the situation because they know they're coming.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Chad.
All right.
I wish we'd
Paul,
take you
I,
around with
Paul, us. I gotta cut you off here. You and Chad, hopefully we'll get together. Paul, what's the number for people to call again?
685-8200, 685-8200. You can reach it 24/7.
All right. Chad, perfect. Thank you for calling in. Paul, thank you for doing what you do. It's Quality of Life Reno, QOL-Reno.org. We'll be back after this. I'm getting mixed messages here now. All right, we'll be back after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Ninety-nine point one, 92.3 is FM Talk. There
is 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada because you know these issues affect all of us. Before we started getting into the homeless again, which is a topic that you can go back and forth on. Every minute of every hour of every day. And it boils down to enforcing the law and using that tough love. Sorry, there are other places around this country that do not have this issue, even right next door to us in Sparks, because they enforce the law. Enforce the damn law, City of Reno and Washoe County. Damn, we put our law enforcement in such a bad position to where they don't even want to talk to people who are trying to make a difference. We saw the officer who's in charge of the homeless now, or the part of the program, wouldn't even talk to Paul, just blew him off. I've got the audio. It's incredible. But these are your tax dollars. We're not supposed to have to be dealing with this stuff on a daily basis because you pay to not have to deal with it. But they just want more. They want more programs. They want more. And why is that? Is so they can live off of that money. So I had to look this up. The federal government is going to get about $3.6 trillion in tax revenue in fiscal 2020. Half of that comes from personal income taxes. And a third of that comes from payroll taxes. Did you hear what I just said? Did that sink in and make a connection? Half comes from personal income taxes. A third comes from payroll taxes. That's the same money. It's just more tax on what you're making. It's your money. They're just calling it something different. And that's your federal taxes. Then there's state. And then there's local. There's fees. There's taxes that keep going. Oh, and they say, oh, we're only going to do it by, you know, a quarter of a cent. Well, that doesn't sound bad. But when it keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming, that's where it's bad. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 because there are successes out there. And Amanda wants to share her success story. Amanda, thanks for calling into the show today.
Hey, Monica.
So were you homeless?
I was. I started over at the family shelter downtown about 2 years ago with all of my kiddos. I was fleeing from domestic violence and a human trafficking case, and I had opened up, okay, I started with Human Service Agency, Washoe County Human Service Agency, and so that was the first resource that I utilized. They connected us with a case manager at the family shelter downtown, and we moved in there for about a month. Our mental health was kind of faltering, my children and mine, and so I opened up a CPS case against myself. And then I called and waited on a bed at step two, and I went into the step two inpatient program. While I was there, I continued to work on my mental health. I got involved in the family court program out here, and I continued to follow with the referrals and the resources that were offered as a result of engaging with these programs and with these people. And as soon as I completed the inpatient program, you know, I trusted that if I was a fit parent that, you know, Washoe County would give me my kids back. And that's exactly what happened. Going further, I continued to access the resources that were here in town with Community Service Agency, Awaken, and those are some really good resources. And Safe Embrace for people experiencing domestic violence and those who have domestic violence traumas. Like, those are some really great resources, and they have really great connections. They hooked me up with Washoe Legal in order to clear up a couple of things that have happened. It was some of the wreckage from my past. And my kids and I are thriving. I'm thriving. It didn't happen overnight. Like I said, it's been almost 2 years. I now have an apartment that is not federally funded money. I don't have a subsidy for that. I am in a position now where I am getting off of welfare and no longer having to use food stamps and whatnot as a result of the work that I've put in. And I used the resources that were available as a core base of support. The problem with what I think is a lot of people who are homeless or in a situation of poverty, they don't want to continue accessing the resources because it takes a while. And like an addictive mindset, we want what we want and we want it now. And the thing about using resources is it's a process, and you have to make your appointments. You have to wait. You have to trust the time of the process. And by doing so, I'm with God at the top, and then recovery next. I'm thriving, and I'm doing a really great job.
Amanda, you are amazing. And that's the other point of your story, though, is because you wanted it. You wanted that success. But can I ask you a personal question? Do you mind?
No, not at all. Go ahead.
How did you fall in to the human trafficking?
I was told a story when I was 18 years old, so this was probably about 13 years ago, that I was going to go see this like really cool concert in Vegas. And when I got down there, it was a completely different story.
Wow. And it was convincing. And did you know the people who were telling you this story?
I had just met them. So during this time, I was a substance user. So my judgment was really clouded. It was really clouded. And I was really young and naive. And I wanted to live that fabulous life where I could buy all these fancy clothes and drive around in fancy cars. And, you know, I needed something that was going to help support my habits and vices. It didn't blend well when I started having a family, though. As soon as I started having children, my values started to change and started to shift. And it took a really long time to get out of that lifestyle because that lifestyle was working for me for a really long time. And then when it didn't and it started to negatively impact my children, from a more obvious stance, like it looked like they were being like abused. The trust that I had between my children and I just, it was broken. And that's when I realized I needed to get out of the situation that I was in. And, you know, I tried to escape that situation three times. And finally, on the third time, Human Service Agency believed me. They knew that I needed help. And so I was willing to go through whatever it took to provide a better life for my kids and for myself.
Yeah, Step 2 and Awaken are just two amazing organizations. One more thing, though, on the human trafficking. Did you see other women that were being trafficked when you did go to Vegas down there?
Yeah, and all of us that are engaged in the commercial sex industry are being trafficked and exploited. Like, I was reading somewhere that there's a difference between being a prostitute and being prostituted, and I don't necessarily agree, because there are reasons why people stay in the industry and why people need to get out of the industry, but there's been times where somebody has been exploited, like a person was being trafficked. Like, we're all trafficked in one way or another.
So were they all 18 and young, and or
not everybody?
Does it really it really anybody can fall into it?
Absolutely. And it's not just a thing for women. There are men in this industry too. And a lot of them, like I've learned working with, you know, Awaken, that a lot of them are minors, and that's super unfortunate because they're just kids.
Yeah. It's just the stories that they're told, and then once you get in, threatened, and families threatened, and, you know, no one's going to love you. And again, it's just stories. I wish more people believed in themselves like you did. And I wish only the best for you and your kids. And God bless you for getting yourself together and being a voice for other people as well. I am so glad you called the show today, Amanda.
Thank you, Monica.
Please keep in touch. Send me an email. And I definitely want to have you back on the show again, because you are so inspiring. It's absolutely fantastic. So, Amanda, have a great day. And I hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you, Amanda. 884-9910. This is your stories. You have to believe that you can achieve success. We can achieve success when it comes to taking our country back, helping those who need it, bringing it back to a city, a county, a state level. Federal dollars are being wasted because people want to have control of your federal dollars. Nancy Pelosi and the like want to be able to go and live high off the hog on your dollars, when we could be taking care of our communities. The only way that changes is when you vote and how you vote. 884-9910. We're going to wrap up the show with something else you better be paying attention to. Wow. Immigration bill already in Congress. This is not good. It's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Yep, you can stream us, you can follow us, you can listen to podcasts of the show in case you missed anything, and I love having you here. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. You can go to our poll question, 991fmtalk.com. That is our poll site. Should ICE be allowed to detain people appearing in court for non-immigration issues? 86.54% said yeah. 13.46% said no, that bothers me. That really, really bothers me. But I want to ask you this quick question. Do you know, or did you know, that there was an English professor at the University of Notre Dame, depending on where you're from, a faculty member there for, 40 years before he passed away at the age of 71. He was a founding member and president of the International Gramercy Society. He was an avid proponent of the work of Antonio Gramsci. I don't know how to say that. Basically, he was the godfather of cultural Marxism. Interesting man. His name was Dr. Joseph Buttigieg. Any relation? Yeah. It's his father. Tomorrow, New Hampshire primaries. Mayor Pete Buttigieg walked away, I think, with the win in Iowa. It's how Obama got through. You get the kids, you get the ground game going, and they're doing it. And they're doing it here in Northern Nevada, too. Big crowd out there. The Nevada Day Parade with their Pete Buttigieg signs. The man who's a mayor of a city that is in total turmoil. Can't run a city, but you want to be mayor. I mean, you want to be president. You know he's going to be back here very shortly. Even Elizabeth Warren is coming in after Tuesday at some point. Because the Nevada primary, the caucus, is going to be happening. They want Nevada votes. You know, the communist himself, Mr. Sanders, is going to be here. Hopefully you will have something to say to them. Because this has to stop. Things are getting so bad that even Mexico is allowing armed citizens to legally fight back against drug cartels. Total turnaround. The Mexican government will provide vigilante groups fighting a drug cartel in western Mexico a path to actually become organized. Moving away from telling groups that they had to disband and disarm. Yet, elected representatives here want to just disarm you and take away your Second Amendment. And the Democrats already working at it. Rather than people fleeing Mexico, maybe Mexico and Guatemala and El Salvador and every place else should take care of their own and put up the fight. Because Democrats just want to open the doors and let everybody come here. Please follow this bill that I told you about the other day. This bill will destroy us. And the House Dems are pushing it. New Way Forward bill. New Way Forward. It actually grants immigration judges increased powers to nullify deportation orders. Just nullify them. And get this. It orders ICE to prove in court that illegal aliens are dangerous or a flight risk in order to detain or hold them. However, in court, they will be unable to use an alien's criminal past as evidence that they are dangerous. Did you get what I just said? So if an MS-13 member out there has already killed two or three people, caught with drugs, ICE takes them to court to prove that they're bad guy. Can't use those past murders. You just pulled them on a drug charge. Well, they don't look at drug charges as that serious anymore. How is any Democrat at all in power? City of Reno, state of Nevada. It's bull squat, people, and it's got to stop. Take a stand and make a difference in 2020.